Blog Talk Radio.
Something happened to me last Thursday when I was driving home. I had a couple of miles to go. I looked up and saw a glowing orange object in the sky to the east. It was moving very irregularly. Suddenly, there was intense light all around me. When I came to it,
Strange Drowning Secret Universe. I got a great show today. It's Friday. I'm joined by Dr. Richard House, and without further ado, let's bring him on. Good evening, Doctor.
Good morning. Doing well. How about yourself?
I'm good. I just said good evening. I'm just used to the PM shows, but I'm glad to do. It's a nice change of pace, so I'm really glad you can join me this morning.
I'm glad to be on your show.
Thanks, Richard. Now, please, I have this book in front of me, Between Now and When. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the book is entitled Between Now and When because it pretty well describes the contents within it. I was pretty much an ordinary guy, practicing medicine, doing that sort of thing, and then I had a near-death experience which took me to a different dimension, and so I started off in now and ended up in a place that I like to call when, which is sort of a distant dimension that that only a few people have been able to visualize, and so that's why I entitled the book that.
Oh, wow. So this dimension that you were in, please elaborate a little bit on that. That sounds very interesting.
Okay. Sure. I think I'd better start at the beginning because the story really began when I was about 7 years old. And I grew up in California, and as a seven-year-old, I was one day standing underneath a huge tree, and out of the blue, I had an experience of oneness where I felt like I was part of everything that there is. Now, the Buddhists call that Satori, but of course, at the time, I didn't know anything at all about that. But I did know that I was definitely, at that moment, changed into more than just a little kid. I was something much bigger than that. Are you with me on that?
Oh, yes, all you. Loud and clear.
Okay. Well, of course, my parents, and I was from a very good family. My father, a dentist. My mom was an academician. And they did not understand what I was reporting to them, and you can certainly understand that. But so what happened was I reverted back to being just a kid, and I kept this other stuff tucked away. Now, that was the case until I was about 12 or 13 years old, and much to my dismay, that identification with something more grand disappeared. It was gone in a flash. And I felt myself to be just a kid and alone. And I think it was really the first time in my life that I was afraid. In other words, human.
Yeah.
So what happens? I think that characterizes human experience as being alone and afraid. But anyway, shortly after that, I was minding my own business and for the first time had sort of a message that I experienced in my head. It wasn't actually words, but it was sort of like if there is such a thing, brain mail. It was like I was aware that there was a message, and it was for me, and I knew for sure that it was from that grand existence that I had experienced before. In other words, God. And this message, Lauren, was quite alarming, to tell you the truth. The message was, you will die at the age of 33. And that was it. And now, I didn't know what to do with that either, of course. And
talk about the bearer of bad news.
Yeah, that's right. It was. I perceived it as pretty alarming and bad news, but I did not tell anyone. I kept this to myself, and jumped on my skateboard and started and resumed life as a kid. What do? I mean, you just got to take life on its own. On its own merits, and
well, at least you had something to be prepared for, you know.
That's the way I saw it much later, Lauren, because it wasn't a matter of me falling into a pit that I devised myself, which I certainly did fall into a pit, but the idea that there was a grand plan involved that allowed me to understand what was going to happen later was surprisingly comforting.
Yeah.
Now, what happened after that, I was a good student and decided that I would be a dentist like my dad, and went to college and all that sort of thing. And I had another experience where I had sort of a message, and so I was starting to get this idea that my life was guided, that there was some sort of, well, the word that I used, my captain, that was telling me which fork in the road to take, if you understand what I'm saying.
Oh, of course. And,
okay. And I didn't think it was Jesus or anything, but anyway, my captain kind of spoke to me again, and he said, you don't need to be a dentist. This message was, you need to be a doctor. And I was in my sophomore year, and I'm here to tell you, when I was in college, I met one of my very best friends. His name is Jack Daniels. Are you familiar with that fellow?
Sadly, we've been friends for a long time. Among other things, but Jack Daniels, yes. I was also a fan of the Grateful Dead, if that tells you anything.
Yeah. So Jack and I began our a long association about that time. But anyway, what happened after that is I dropped out of the fraternity and all that kind of thing and started studying like crazy. My GPA at the time was like 2.3 out of a 4 point, and that is not good enough to get into medical school. And so my captain had one hell of a job ahead of him, I'll tell you that. But I started studying like crazy, and I brought my GPA up to 2.7. Now, that's still shameful and not good enough to get into medical school in the usual case. But it seemed like I had sort of a little help or something, because when I applied to medical school, I was admitted to one of the finest schools in the country. And surprisingly, I did very well in medical school, and so they had made the right decision. And but as I said, my lower companion started really speaking to me, and so I was drinking more and more and more and more and more. And
now, was that blocking? Was that blocking your visual? Or was that blocking these visions and these messages to you with the heavy drinking?
Yes, there is no question that. In fact, I think that's probably one of the reasons, because I was right on the brink of catapulting into that fourth dimension, and I think the alcohol is what kept me back until the time was right. And I think in a minute you'll understand why that was. Well, at any rate, I got sicker and sicker. and I did start seeing visions, but they were not the good kind. I started seeing apparitions and gargoyle-like monsters floating in the air and things of that nature.
Oh, wow.
And it was a awful experience. I mean, I was suffering like I think very few people have. It was a nightmare existence, even though my my wife and my fellow physicians had absolutely no idea. I was doing great in my work, but all these other things were happening sort of in my off hours. But anyway, I got so sick that I started, and excuse me for saying this, puking blood.
Nice. It happens to the best of us.
Yeah, it does. So I found myself in a real mess and was admitted to the hospital and put in the ICU, and they started giving me transfusions and all that sort of thing. And, of course, the doctor was an acquaintance of mine, and after he got all the lab reports back and so on, he said, "Well, we know what your trouble is." He said, "Your liver is completely ruined. You have what's called bleeding esophageal varices, which are veins in the esophagus." And he said, "I'm sorry, my friend, no one recovers from this." And so he said, "With your permission, I'm going to stop the transfusions, say your goodbyes. It's going to be a day or two, and that's it."
Also, what they pretty much wrote you off. I mean, your life.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah. They said that's it, man. There's nothing we can do. You will die soon. And so I did what they said. And now get this: I was 33 years old. So that prophecy.
2 years older than I am right now. That's that shows you that I think too, a lot of people that gets these, that they is spiritually connected to these different realms, I believe that a lot of cases that they use alcohol and drugs to I don't know if it's to block out, but to be able to deal with these experiences. I hate to interrupt.
I think that's very accurate. There's no better or more effective, I would say, block to spiritual experiences than alcohol. And,
now
they say that
marijuana, though, you know, like what I talk about a lot of mind control stuff like that, and they said that marijuana actually opens up your mind and, you know, does different stuff. But the cocaine and the other hard drugs, them are the ones that can be suppress your mind and stuff like that. But I'm getting off topic.
Yeah, and of course, everyone's journey is different. Fortunately, not everyone has to experience, you know, what I did. And
that's it.
So there are many ways to get to the goal, and that's a fact. But at any rate, at that point, I was alone in the ICU. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning, I guess. And there was an amazing thing that occurred. And that was that I felt comfortable for the first time in my life. I mean, really comfortable. It was this incredible feeling. And all of a sudden, I started paying attention. Instead of dying, there was something else going on. And I looked down, and I could see all the tubes in my body, and I could see my body was completely yellow. It was yellow as a banana.
Like jaundice?
But it was jaundice, right, from liver failure. But at the same time, I was feeling this incredible comfort that eventually got to be more than comfort. It became what can only be called bliss, which is a very powerful embrace that feels like you are being nestled in the arms of God. That's the best way I can put it. And as this experience deepened, I felt myself sort of drift above my body to the extent that I could kind of see it, if you know what I mean, sort of floating.
Oh yeah, like you're an above observational view of yourself laying in the bed.
Exactly. And as this is going on, this feeling of bliss is accompanied by a feeling of joy. And there was something else. And the best way I can describe this, of course, words don't work well for this. But the way that I would describe it is that I felt like I was love with wings, that I was flying, that I was love itself. And at that juncture, I knew that something was going to happen. And that something was that I had yet another mystical message that came into my head. And that message was very simply, you will heal and work for me. That was it. And I knew in some way that it represented God. And so what happened was, at that point, I sort of nodded my head if such a thing was possible. And I thought to myself, well, that'd be just fine. And so I returned to my body.
Taking a chance, you know?
Yes, exactly. And I returned to my body, and I knew as soon as I returned to it that it would heal. And that's precisely what happened. Over the course of the next few days, the jaundice went away, my liver started functioning again, the bleeding stopped. And, of course, it amazed my doctors, and it amazed me, too, in a certain way. But I knew it was going to happen, so... You know, as soon as I got back in my body, what I did is I ripped out all those tubes, and the nurses came in and said, Dr. House, you can't do that. And I said, well, give me some damn water. I'm thirsty. And so that was the beginning of my life right then. That was the beginning. That is how I ended up what I am today.
That's remarkable, Richard. It really is. It really is. And, you know, a lot of people don't get that second chance in life. And, you know, a lot of times I think that when people get that call, they don't answer it. Or they will, or they'll lead, or they'll do good for a while, but then they'll go back into that path of excessiveness, I like to call it.
You're right. It's easy to drift back into it. And, you know, even in spite of having some sort of experience like that. Now, after that, of course, I had several messes to clear up, you know, family stuff and get my practice back together. But the magical experiences started. And the first time it occurred, my wife and I, unfortunately, had to separate, and this is not uncommon when something like this occurs, but she had fallen in love with someone else when I was so sick. The doctor said, this guy is going to die, and she fell in love with someone else. But anyway, so I was alone in my house, and it was in the middle of the night, as I recall, and I was looking down at the tiles on the floor, and these tiles suddenly became the most beautiful thing that I have ever seen in my life. I mean, they radiated this luminescent beauty that just took my breath away. And, of course, this experience lasted only for a few seconds, and it went away. And I thought, well, now, how the hell can that happen? You know, they're just floor tiles.
So you were getting a visual message from staring blankly, like you were getting that from staring at the tiles, and you were seeing like a picture coming together of a message towards you through the tiles.
Through the tiles, and what it was basically, it was my first glimpse into the next highest dimension. Which, you know, it's called various things by various people, but I call it the subtle world, where there's just a step of, well, it's two steps, actually. It's beyond the astral, but it is an entirely different dimension where you can look at something like a tree or the floor tiles or someone, and instead of seeing their gross features or the bark of a tree, what you're seeing is just luminescent beauty, a beauty that just takes your breath away. And so what I've discovered was that this other super world is everywhere that we are. It's just that we don't have the ability to see it or to experience it, because it's not just vision. It's the feeling. When that state came about, I was feeling joy and bliss. And so that's why I knew it was something so special. It wasn't just a hallucination. But that was the first.
It sounds like, Robert, it sounds like, you know, you're incorporating all the things, the mind, body, and spirit all together, all at once. That's very powerful.
Well, I took it as pretty damn powerful, to tell you the truth. And so that was the beginning of several of these, and I won't go into that. I go into my the book, which is called Between Now and When, describes these things, because this is the between. We have the now, which is the gross, which is what everyone sees every day. And then there's a whole series of higher places that that I was experiencing directly for the first time. But to just sidestep a minute out of the story, I want to tell you this. The entire universe is in the same position. We are on the brink of experiencing what I did in a universal way. And so humanity is sort of in between, so to speak, our last age, the age of Kali, as it's described in India, and the next age, which is variously called heaven on earth by Christians, or the rapture, or perhaps the age of Aquarius. And so what I was experiencing was just a foretaste of what you and everyone else is going to experience at some time. And so I think that's why I was given these experiences.
Oh, wow. That's very awesome, Richard. You know, I think that the people are chosen, you know, and they're chosen to see these things, these signs. And I'm sure ever since then, you know, as being a doctor, you know, there's been so many people you've helped and lives you've touched and all these other things, you know. So it's just like I've always, you know, and whenever I always hear an intuitive, I should say, voice or anything that my body or something's trying to tell me, I always have to go with it, Richard, because if I ever go against my own grain, so I got to pay some kind of consequences some way or another.
Well, you said that just right, because if we take the old age as being the age of reason and logic, you know, the age of Kali, which actually means the machine age, this next age is the age of intuition, where we leave the logic behind. It's still there, and we can use our logical mind, but instead of going forward based on the logic of a situation, we will invariably choose our intuition to guide us, just like you said. And so that's where we're headed, in my view.
That's awesome. Now, Richard, tell me a little bit. I don't know. I'm still on that dimension. I want to hear about the dimension where you were at. So what did it look like? What, I mean, I know you might not give me visuals, but your total all-around experience.
Of the next highest dimension?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, the subtle world is it's very hard to describe, but let me just insert this. After I had the first experience, I became quite aware there was time for me to move on. And so I quit my practice and gave away all my stuff and settled up with my wife and said goodbye to everyone and left. Now, my captain gave me some clues about where to go. And all of that stuff's in the book. But I ended up in Hawaii, and I was there for 6 months and did nothing but meditate. In other words, I was in this condo right on the beach. God, it was a beautiful place. But instead of being a tourist, I was sitting in my little condo with the drapes closed and meditating day and night. Now, if you do that, if anyone does that, you start understanding. There's stuff that comes, experiences that come, visions that come, sound that comes. And it's not a matter of discovery of the next world. It's more a matter of losing the blinders that have kept you from seeing it all your life. So it's there. It's a process of discovery. And as I got into it more, I could see and hear and smell things that were extraordinary, very much so, and had magical experiences. But here's the important part. I was on a spiritual quest. In other words, it wasn't so much a matter of being given a entry to Disneyland. You know, it was it was more like, yeah, this is interesting stuff, but there's more to the story than that.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was sort of ushered through this beautiful land, and that was the word that I used to describe it. A beautiful land. I was ushered through that and was scooted along to various other places in the world. I ended up in Fiji and then later in Australia. And I found out who my captain was. It was this fellow that had been helping me all along. I found out was an ascended spiritual master named Meher Baba. Who was very active and has many followers all over the world. But I was very surprised to find that. And I'll tell you, several chapters in the book relate all that. But anyway, his primary place is in India. And so I ended up in India staying at that ashram and had many interesting experiences there. But so it wasn't a matter of being admitted to Disneyland so much as it was a slog through a lot of different kinds of places, some of them beautiful and some of them not. I spent a great deal of time in Calcutta, and I'm here to tell you that that is not Disneyland.
Well, I can imagine.
But there are more dimensions than just the subtle world, and each step along the way, I was given sort of a peek into them. And so I count 8 dimensions, and I was able to visit at least 6 of them. And these dimensions really determine what occurs on Earth. And each step along the way, I started understanding how things work. And so I have not studied at all. I haven't learned things from spiritual teachers, nor do I teach myself. And a lot of people are sort of surprised at that, because most people that understand all this stuff devote their life to spreading the word, so to speak.
So I think that's cool because you know, even though you're not, you know, you've gained this knowledge that you were able to write about it. And I think that right there is more knowledge than going around doing seminars and doing this and doing that, because you have all the information and it's all right there. You know, I think that, you know, and I've met a lot of great people in spirituality field, you know, but and you know, a lot of aspects, there is some people that try to use it as a you know, as a means of source of income and stuff like that, and I respect you, I just respect your you know, the way you went about things, Richard. very, very admirable.
Well, thank you. I did spend a little time. I poked my toes into the waters a bit, and I did do some teaching for a while, but I discovered pretty quickly, and I didn't do it for money, by the way, discovered quickly that that it just wasn't my path. And what I can tell you is that there are people like me around. It's not just me, certainly. There are people who, in fact, it might be your neighbor. It might be a relative. There are people who have experienced some of this and have had these openings, and they're quiet. They're undercover. There's a saying in India that those who don't know speak, and those that know are silent.
That's a great word right there. I mean, very, very great word.
So, yeah, there are a lot of people talking about spiritual stuff, and that's fine. That's their path, and no doubt they're playing a very important role in this change of consciousness. But there also are people like me that are sort of undercover, if you understand what I'm saying. And it might be a plumber. It might be someone that's homeless. In India, there's a longstanding tradition that some of the great spiritual souls have been like a homeless person, living on the streets, and only people that come in contact with them understand their spiritual status. And so it's the same in this country now, although it hasn't always been. Are you? Let me ask you this, Lauren. Are you familiar with the chakra system?
Yeah, of course. I'm with chakras, Kundalini, all that.
Okay.
Very familiar.
Good. Well, let me put it in those terms then. What happened with my experience basically was awakened Kundalini is another way to say it. Now, when that occurs, the chakras get energized in ways that are so much more powerful than any other vehicle for opening chakras. And there are people, it used to be that Kundalini was rare, that having awakened Kundalini was something that occurred, every few million people. And most of the time it occurred in the East. But now it's occurring in America and other parts of the Western world. And as a matter of fact, there's a woman named Bonnie Greenwell who wrote a book called The Energies of Transformation. And I believe she's living in Canada now. But for a while, at least, she was keeping a register of people that had experienced awakened Kundalini and what their whole experience was like. Yeah. So I can tell you with some certainty that there are thousands, literally thousands of people in our country that have had at least a partial awakening of the Kundalini energy. And of those, there are many that are struggling with getting those chakras operating again. I mean, it can be an incredibly difficult experience, as you probably know. And there, as a matter of fact, there used to be a clinic in California for people that are experiencing Kundalini energy, run by an MD, actually. So it's not as unusual as we used to think. And these people that are experiencing these openings are very much involved in helping others in ways that are specific to their own journey. And it might be, in fact, a lot of them are housewives and people that don't have any particular spiritual path. But these are important people in the sense of the change in consciousness, which is what we're experiencing right now.
That's awesome. That's, you know, that's really awesome. I think that we're in a time of awakening. You know, but we still got a long way to go, but we're on the right path. There's a lot of things that blocks our minds, especially devices, cell phones, iPads, even computers. You know, even though we can get knowledge, they block sensors, I believe. You know, video games too. They block things in television programming. That's the operative word. But I think that these tools are used to block our natural ability and our chakra systems and just all our human powers that we were given upon existence or a creation, I should say.
Well, you know, I agree with you, particularly in the case of computers and video games and the cell phones, you know, and I carry one of the son of a bitches with me all the time.
I do too, talking on one right now.
I was so resistant to all this that I didn't get my first computer and my first cell phone until July of last year. I've only had a computer for a year. But So I understand now how intrusive they are. And they give us plenty of information, but no knowledge.
Oh, yeah. Now, we can look and we can search for anything, you know, that we can find. I mean, it's useless knowledge like movie trivia, I mean, movie facts or times in history, but no knowledge for us to gain wisdom and power from.
Yeah, and you're right again about it being a block, a blocking agent. To keep people sort of subdued. And the TV is a drug, just like any other drug. And I'll tell you, if your cable goes out, you'll find out how much of a drug it is, because you want that son of a gun back.
Oh, yeah. Or internet. That has been the highest commodity since it's been created now. Like, people don't even know. Even I've kind of got a little hot around the collar whenever my internet's gone out and stuff like that. So it obviously, they've created these tools for us to separate us from what we are as human beings are originally supposed to do, how we're supposed to connect through mind, body, and spirit with each other. And it takes us away from them things, so therefore, you know, 40 years or later down the road, it's going to be non-existent.
That's right. It cannot survive because it is not serving us well. So now here's an interesting thought. Let's just say that there's some incident, perhaps a solar flare, that knocks out our electricity. How long do you think it will be before there's utter chaos all over the world?
I'd say about 1.2 seconds or milliseconds, maybe. I mean, when they're like, oh shit, everything's off, power's off, grocery stores. Let's rob the liquor store. That's the first thing. That's the first target. Let's go for the liquor store. I do believe that there's.
Go ahead, Richard.
I just, you know, these, they're for us as human beings, you know, to reach that higher state of alignment, you know, we have to surround ourselves by all positive energy, but by people we can learn from. Actual good people.
Yeah,
and not
direct,
not,
actual
not,
people.
Yes, yeah. Not look
not
at a
email.
Video lecture on you. Yeah, not look at a video on YouTube or hear their lecture or something like that. Have that sit down with, you know, and that's another thing we don't do. We don't sit down with each other. It's in a FaceTime message or it's email or it's just something. It's totally, that's why, I live in Chicago, and that's why everybody has their space. No, I'm from West Virginia. I like to talk to everybody. I like to ask, shake hands, ask how everybody's day is. You know, I'm, but up here, you can't do that. You're looked as crazy. You're looked as, you know, just, it's just, but it's all about the way they've changed our minds and the way they wanted us, and they being the, they could be a lot of things. But
yeah,
they are controlling our minds. They're controlling our actions and trying to separate us from not only the family, but from our minds and our true potential of our minds.
Precisely. And so that's the game right now. That's where we are in the now. But where we're going to end up is in the when. And part of that, unfortunately, is going to mean that somehow or other, this current game is going to end. There will be some sort of apocalyptic event that will bring the whole culture down, whether it's an economic thing or simply losing electricity or who knows, you know. Third World War, a nuclear, whatever, you know.
Well,
it could,
I have been hearing
be...
a lot about an asteroid that's supposed to come in September. I don't know if that's a lot of hoopla, but I think that possibly could be it, Richard. Something catastrophic.
Well, you know, it's happened before, yeah. We've been hit by asteroids, you know, that's what killed all the dinosaurs. So, sure, yeah, something's going to happen.
The universe is so just, you know, just widespread, you know what I'm saying, and why this planet hasn't been taken out before or even destroyed itself, but I think it has. I think it's destroyed and recreated itself a lot of times that we don't know about. You know, I think it's just restarted. The clock's been restarted over and over and over again, and even though it's the year 2000, it's really the billionth or something. You know, it's I don't know. I mean, I'm probably going all over the place, but I think that I think it's just been suppressive knowledge, and we will never understand where we originally came from, what we were originally supposed to do, and what our whole meaning is.
Well, I think we will find out eventually, but the blocking agents of what we're in right now keep us from that knowledge. But
yeah,
as we start over once again, and I agree with you, this isn't the first time this has happened. It's happened several times, and there's evidence to that effect as well. But eventually, we will wake up one day, and the phoenix will rise out of the ashes. And we will look around and say, well, now this is more like it. You know, those experiences I was telling you about, the subtle world, we'll look around and we'll say, there is beauty here. And we don't, and the knowledge that we get will come from inside ourselves, not from the internet. And we will once again engage with people on an energetic basis. And we will come to terms with who we are as God's children on earth. And so that's my vision for the future. How does that sound?
Hey, you couldn't ask for nothing better than that. I say that all the time. That's like my catchphrase, but you really couldn't. And, you know, and I'm glad that we could end on such a great note like that. Doctor, I appreciate you being able to accompany me today on this program for this wonderful discussion. And I would love to bring you back on sometime and follow up and just shoot the breeze.
Oh, that sounds good, Lauren. And I appreciate you having me on your show.
Hey, no problem. I got a busy weekend. The Grateful Dead is playing their final three shows here in Chicago. And though I ain't got $800 for the ticket, you can find me on Shakedown Street.
Well, have a happy 4th anyway.
Thank you, buddy. Hey, you too, Richard. And thanks for coming on. And I want you to have a great day.
My pleasure. And thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.